I'm going to invite up our dear brother, Alan Erickson. He ministers here and serves in our church as our mission director. And last year, he had a chance to go and visit with the Mirabellas, with Steve and Donna. And we are excited to be able to put a face to the name now and hear what the Lord's been doing in your life. I'm going to invite Brother Alan up just to kind of introduce them and share a little bit about who they are.
Well, I'm going to make this real quick because I want them to have all the time. You already know me, and you can talk to me anytime. And so I'm just very thankful that they get to be here with us today so that you can get to know them. So without further ado, Stephen and Donna Mirabella.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Good morning, church. Alan, thank you so much. Alan has just been such an inspiration to us. And when he came over to East Africa, he just a man of God. And what God has done through him and will continue to do, it will just be, you know, we just thank you, Alan, for being part of that. We thank you so much. It's just an honor and a pleasure to be here with you guys. And it's, we don't take this lightly, for sure. We know God has his perfect timing, and we know it doesn't happen by chance, but we believe that God has done this for his purpose right now, to be here with you all. And we've come to share about the goodness of God, you know, and what his story is in our lives and how he's using. We were just talking to Shane, and, you know, we plan our ways, and God does direct us. You know, as long as we keep our eyes fixed and focused on him. Amen? Amen. Again, Steve and Donna Mirabella. We have four beautiful children who all are serving the Lord. Maybe some of you have met Stephen and Jonna. And as you know, they're over in Iraq right now doing incredible things. And we're so proud of those guys. And each one of our children are serving the Lord in ministries, whether abroad or here at home. Donna.
We have, so all the kids are married, and we have 14 grandchildren.
Yes.
So when we come home, it's really fun to catch up.
We're starting our own tribe of Judah. You know? Amen. Amen. Donna and I have been married now for 29 years, and it's just been beautiful. And we've known each other since she was 13, and I was 14. And that we've been together ever since. And I just knew when I met Donna that God was going to do something incredible. And I just couldn't let her go. So, amen, amen. As we said, we have 14 grandchildren. And thank you, Pastor Bill, and we are praying for you. And thank you for giving us this opportunity. Thank you, church, for giving us this time and for praying for us. We know you guys have been behind us. I know you heard of us and what our sons and daughters are doing, and we thank you for your prayers, and we appreciate that so much. We have an organization called Touching Nations Today. If you care to visit that website, it's called touchingnationstoday.org. Forgive us, we are updating it. It's a little bit outdated, but you get the gist of what God is doing in our organization. Not only do we have the organization here stateside, but we also have it over in Tanzania as a 501(c). And God is using us immensely in that. And so just to give you a little background, Tanzania has 63 million people in it. And out of those 63 million people, 16 million people, 28%, of the population lack proper drinking water. In it all, 44 million people, 73%, lack the facilities of sanitation or bathrooms. You know, God is doing incredible things. Famine right now is running rampant. As you know, inflation throughout the world is growing. When you're in a third world country, it's hard to imagine that life was tough way back then.
Yes. Already?
And now with famine, and also drought, we're in its fourth year of drought.
So cattle is dying, yes, and the crops are dying. It's real, and it's an emergency over there right now.
It really is, and the cries are just incredible. And so,
the Lord hears.
That's right. The Lord knows. Mm-hmm. And so, Isaiah 6:8, who shall I send? And Donna and I said, send us. Mm-hmm. 29 years ago. And God is doing incredible works. And Donna will share some stories and testimonies of what God is doing. So I'll give it to Donna right now. And it's all yours.
Amen. Amen. So I just want to thank the Lord for his presence here and for worshiping together. The sweet presence of the Lord, huh? Such a sweet presence in the house. And I just thank you, Lord, for who you are. I thank you for the plans you have. I thank you for the things you're aiming at. I thank you, Lord God, that you would remove everything that's not of you and make us a clear reflection of who you are in this day and in this hour. And we just bless this house right now that we would go home. We wouldn't go home, back home. We wouldn't go back home. We would go forward home. We would go forward changed in your presence. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So God has sent us to unreached, least reached people of Tanzania. And pretty much wherever he sends us, that's what we're looking for. We're looking, God has sent us to the one. It's not like we have this big organization, but we're a family. And when we're out there, we minister as a family. You know, we love the people he sends us to as a family. And so I'm going to just say a little bit first about the south, the southern region of Tanzania. We live in a town called Kigoma. Kigoma in Tanzania is known as the witchcraft capital of the country. The people, we work in the south in the mountains, and the people that we work with in the mountains, Kigoma says, oh, any of the famous witch doctors that hit the country came out of those mountains. So Kigoma is like afraid of the people in the mountains, and the country is afraid of Kigoma. So it's, but God has a plan, and God is faithful. And I want to just tell you, witch doctors are coming to know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They're coming into the kingdom. And so God has sent us out there. Kind of where the road is, you're going to find a church. So wherever there's a road, the church has arrived. But off in the mountains and hidden places, they've still haven't heard the good news. So that's where the Lord has sent us. We kind of, our motto kind of is where the road ends is where our ministry will begin. So we'll go out with backpacks and, you know, where we drive until you can't drive anymore. We'll follow footpaths with a truck, jump out, clear the roads. And just, you know, if there's a footpath, it's leading to a village. You know, eventually you're going to come into a village. So for us, what the Lord has given us something to say to the areas that we minister. And until he changes it, we're going to keep saying it. And so as we show up to a village, usually the first person we meet is a witch doctor. And then we ask to speak to the village king. They rule in kings and queens down in the mountains. And we'll wait, because that's the protocol. You know, you're going to be invited into the village. If they reject us, you just brush the dirt off your feet and you move on to the next one. You know, it's all in the Lord's hands. But to this day, the Lord has opened up 26 villages to us. So I praise God for that. But so we come, we meet the witch doctors at first. We wait for the king to show up. A crowd is slowly gathering. And you know when the king has showed up, because he kind of carries himself a little different. You know, he walks a little taller. You know, he looks the same as everybody else, but he carries his authority. And everybody, just all of a sudden, you'll see the whole crowd get down, and they all clap, a very slow clap to this king. And we basically just say, the God of heaven has sent us. He knows you're here. He loves you. He's inviting the whole world to know him, and he doesn't want to leave you out. So can we stay and tell you about him? And at that point, we get the invitation. God, this is God's moment. It's his hour for these people. They've been hidden prior, But this is their hour because they're welcoming us in Jesus' name. And then God just comes in and shows off. He just comes in and he breaks through culture barriers. He just rocks the village. And normally they'll be like, you know, we go hut to hut. And they'll be like, you know, you can go over here, but don't go on this side. And we're like, why? Well, because that's where the really big witches are. And we're like, wow, so that's so cool. Let's go that way, you know, because like you, if we start there, the rest is easy, you know. So and God just is amazing. His love is fierce. He is reckless over his love for the bride, you know. And if anything happens along the way, I'm in. We're already in. If anything happens to us along this journey of life, we're here today. I have to believe you're saved and born again and just love the Lord with all your heart. We're in. But they're not. And they need to hear the word. So this is, we'll show you a little video number one of the South. Just kind of taking you in, letting you get a little glimpse of what it's like to get out there. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. So that's down south, the Tongwei. The Lord has opened up the southern region, the north, the east, and the west at this point. Next year, this coming year, actually, Alan is, Lord willing, going to be joining us on some of that trip up there. So we're really excited about that. Up in the north, the Lord has opened up the Maasai. Maasai are a people group that are reached. But out in Ngorongoro Crater, there's 110,000 that's kind of where they originate from. So when they come out and hit the country, there's churches out there. But inside the crater, foreigners are not invited. And the Lord opened up the door 8 years ago for us to go into the crater. He gave us a relationship with some of the Maasai that had come out. It took over 7 months for us to get invited into their area, and God again just showed up, and just does what He does, and we're just so grateful for the opportunity because He's so faithful, and He's calling. It is the hour is late, and the cry from heaven has gone out. Like Joel says, you can hear the alarm in heaven. You know, it's like it's sounding. And God is just causing the ones who have not heard yet to wake up. And we're just so excited that He's allowed us this opportunity. So just a little glimpse into the Maasai and one of the baptisms we were able to have with them. Video number two, please. We were able to drill a well, which gave water to over 10,000 people. They had to walk, how many miles?
20 kilometers.
20 kilometers there and back to get water previously. They're singing, "Since we met Jesus, everything has changed." We believe in full immersion, but that was the closest we were able to get at the time.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen, amen. Praise God. So, how many of us know there's a difference between God being everywhere and God being here right now? Amen. We need him to be everywhere. As we pray for our families and the nations, he's present. But today, right here, right now, in your home, wherever you go, he's a right here, right now God who's always with us. I want to thank the Lord for for his presence and for his promise that we're never alone. Amen. Ryan Hardbunke said, Christianity is not a luxury liner or a pleasure cruise. All hands are needed on deck. Amen. I heard another brother say, the church needs to be naturally supernatural and supernaturally natural. And it just kind of marked me when I heard that. Jesus said, you will not only do the works that I do, but you'll do greater things than this because I go to the Father. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of heaven is not a matter of talk, but power. And in the New Living Translation, it just says it really cool. And it says, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk, but it's living by God's power. Yes. Amen. I kind of want to just take you really quickly into a devotional time that Steve and I had. And you know how you read through the Word, and you can read through the Word, think you understand it a certain way, and then all of a sudden you hear it a little different. And we kind of were going through, you know, the New Testament again, and God started highlighting things that I didn't see before. And one of the things was the phrase that says, all this was done in order to fulfill what was spoken by the prophets. And then another phrase was, Jesus noticed. I just started seeing how many times it said, Jesus noticed. And when he noticed, he did something. And I just started underlining and taking note of that. And what I started to see was that there were times that, oh yeah, they did this thing, and look, it fulfilled what was spoken about the prophets. Wow, that's how I originally understood it all. And it is that way at times. But then there were times that it said they did this in order to fulfill what was spoken by the prophets. So there was an alignment and an agreement with what had been spoken and their part in this hour. And then there was an action that took place. They even moved. Joseph moved to Nazareth, it says, because what was spoken by the prophet. There was a moving involved in it. And I thought to myself, would I even move if I knew? Would I? I don't know. Would I, you know, just move everywhere, everything, and just go? And so I just started really just soul searching and asking the Lord about it. And I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures, and then I just want to tie it all together. So I just want to open up. So I'm just going to read off and read quick, okay? So in Matthew 1, 19 through 22, an angel came to Joseph and said, don't be afraid to take Mary. And then it says, she'll have a son, and you're going to call him Jesus. And in verse 22, all this happened in order to fulfill what was spoken by the prophets. Then Matthew 2, 5, Herod asked the chief priests, where was the Christ to be born? And they replied, in Bethlehem, for it is written by the prophets. There's a lot of things that are not hidden. It's very plain. It's right there. There's things we can follow. There's a trail, you know. We don't have to wonder a lot of times. In Matthew 2, 13 through 15, Joseph warned in a dream to flee to Egypt. He remained there until Herod's death. Verse 15, this was to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophets. Out of Egypt, I've called my son. Matthew 2, this is one of my favorites, 19 through 23. Herod died, and the angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, arise and go to Israel. And he went. And then verse 23 says, He went and lived in Nazareth so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. He went there on purpose. There was a choice. Jesus goes to John and says, baptize me. And John's like, you know, not, I can't even touch the shoes on your shoes on your feet. Like, no. And Jesus goes, come on, let's do this in order to fulfill all righteousness. There was an agreement. There was a let's do. Come on, let's do this. I love that. Because then that's a question to me. Then there's got to be something I've got to agree with in this hour. We know that Jesus said, you will not only do the works that I do, you're going to do greater things. You're going to do greater things. But if we haven't, if we haven't even begun doing the beginning, what are the greater things? Because you're going to do these works and greater things. So that just started challenging me, right? There's stuff very intentional in the word. Luke 18:31. He took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we're going to Jerusalem, and all the things which were spoken through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. In Jesus' life, he fulfilled over 300 prophecies. He lined up. He knew. He came in order to fulfill. He didn't come to abolish the law. He came not to abolish, but to fulfill. Okay, there's a willful, purpose, strategic, intentional plan of God. From the beginning in Genesis, God knew we were going to be alive in this hour. It's not a mistake. It is not a mistake. We're in those final hours of history. That's our assignment. That's it. And I just feel for myself, it's like, wake up. I've got to shake off everything that's been holding me back. And you know what's been holding me back the most is me. My mind, my thinking, it's me. Amen. Then I started, during the same study, I started underlining Jesus noticed. And really quick, Luke 19:41, when he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept over. He saw the city and wept. He was moved. Matthew 4:18-19, walking by the sea, he noticed two brothers, Peter and Andrew, and he said to them, come. Verse 21, he noticed James and John, and he called them. Matthew 8:14-15, and when Jesus went into Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying ill with fever. He touched her, and the fever left. He fulfilled what was spoken, verse 17. Luke 19:5, and when Jesus came to this place, he looked up and he saw him. And he said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, because today I'm going to abide in your house. Over and over, Jesus saw, he noticed, he did. He lined up with prophecy. And then I was thinking about Joshua, okay? Joshua, you know the stories. He was a man who heard the voice of God. You know, Joshua was sent into battle. Before he went, he's like, God, what do I do? And God's like, go in and just kill everybody. He went in and just killed everybody. All right, what do I do now, Lord? Go in and just, like, take the booty. Kill everybody, take the booty. Did whatever God said, he did it. Then the next one, don't touch a thing. He didn't touch a thing. He just heard. How many of us know not every battle is the same? It's not the same. We're not doing tomorrow what we did today. We need to ask the Father what to do today. We've never been in this moment before. And where it's, for me, shame on me if I think it's the same old, same old. It is not the same old, same old. In 1 minute, everything can change. 1 minute changes everything. I could be in the store and miss that moment, that opportunity, because I was busy doing my thing, my list. We're Americans. We hurry. You know, we got to go from here to there, and we got to hurry up. And for myself, even in Tanzania, I'm like, God, I walk past a million opportunities because I'm so busy. I'm so busy. You know, we do good things, but it's like, no. I got to just allow the Lord to change the plan. You know, we have a calendar. We got to allow the Lord to be king and Lord of the calendar, because, you know, sometimes it rules us and there's no room. So it's just been a challenge for me. Now we see Joshua, here he is, hearing God, moved by the Spirit of God, hearing the voice of God and moving in action, and God is faithful. It goes right to how he was in war, in battle, and it says that, I'll give you the scripture in 1 second. In Joshua 10:11, hail killed more than the sword. Hail killed more than the sword in battle. In this is chapter 10, verse 12 through 13, Joshua said in the sight of Israel, the sun, you be still, and the moon. And in verse 13, the sun stood still and the moon stayed. He was unashamed to just command creation to respond to a son of God. Yes. And creation obeyed. Creation stood, and I'm like, wow, Lord, creation stood with a son. So what does that remind you of, right? That reminds you instantly of Romans 8:19. Creation is waiting and longing, groaning for the sons of God to be made known in the earth. Creation is groaning, longing for us to remember, to recognize who we are on this earth. We are sons and daughters of the living God. He has given us all authority. There's no question. This is not a wrestling match. Our dad is on the throne. Daddy is king. And he's allowed us the privilege of this hour to walk this earth in his name, to bring the kingdom, thy kingdom come, thy will be done here, now. That's now faith, right now. I asked the Lord, what would it even look like if I actually believed this enough to start walking it out? You know, we say we believe. I say I believe. But I stop myself. I stop short so much of the time. I asked the Lord, where did Joshua learn this obedience? Where did he get it from, God? And he reminded me of Exodus 33:11. You have 30, the scripture, right? But the last little phrase. Okay, so I'm going to read it. And the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to a friend. Moses returned to the camp, but his minister Joshua, son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the camp, from the tent. He stayed. Joshua stayed in the presence of God. Moses, the great man of God, he's great, who did the things God told him, left, but Josh stayed. And in that place, he heard the voice of God. In the presence of God, we will hear the Father speak. In the presence of God, home, in the store, in the car, it doesn't matter where we are, sitting here, leaving, whatever, every minute in the bathroom, just put our mind on him. He's good. He's faithful. He loves us. In Psalms 32, it says, I will instruct you with my eye upon you. What does that mean? I'll instruct you. That means there's no words. But you got to do something. You got to look at me. Because I can't instruct you with my eye if you're not looking. And I can't instruct you if you don't know who I am and you don't know my heart and you don't know anything about me. How many of us parents in the room know that if you're in a party or a room like this full of people, a wedding, and you're there with your children, how many of you kids know that this is true, right? From a far distance, I know as a mom, I could look at my child and it won't take long before they'll suddenly look back at me. And when they do, I can talk to them across the whole room with no words. With my eye, I can say, good job. I love you. I love you. And with my eye, I could say, you do that again and you are in so much trouble, right? Amen. And the Father is the same. He's Dad. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us with his eye upon us. But I got to look back. I had a, we were entrusted with a son that he was, what's it called? We were guardians for a Tanzanian young man that we brought back to the States. It took him a little while before he understood how much we loved him. And across the room, I could look as much as I want. He never looked back. And when he did look back, whatever I said, he didn't get it. He didn't know me. But when he realized he was a son, there was a connection. And we were able to speak to each other that way. You know. So as sons and daughters, we need to know Dad. We need to let him speak to us this way. This is his desire. It's his desire. He's good. He's a good dad. I want to just share a couple of testimonies because I feel like as we started to walk through some of this, it was like, you know, it shifted. You know, that something had to shift if I was getting this. Something had to change in me. And I realized I started notice. I noticed things. Do you notice things? We notice things, okay? We notice things. And whether we're here or in the field, there's things you just notice. There's times you can lock eyes with someone in a split second of time and you touched for that moment, strangers. And in that moment, you noticed. And like, so what am I going to do with these noticing? What am I going to do to line up with some of the things the Lord was showing us, right? So I was walking in the mall. I'm sharing some stories from overseas, some here, because a lot of people say, oh, those things only happen overseas. And it's not true. Because as a child of God, it's got to be everywhere. It's got to be everywhere. If that's who I really am, it's not overseas only. It's wherever I am because Christ is in me. And the lessons don't stop. It doesn't change. I'm not off when I'm here. You know, and we're not off when we leave the building. You know, we're on. It's on always. It's on in the house. And so I'm walking through the mall with my granddaughter, who was 16 at the time. And we're going through the mall. And as the crowd, we come home around Christmas time because it's rainy season, so it's always around Christmas that we're back. And you know the mall, a sea of people this way, you're in a sea of people moving that way. And as we're walking with the sea of people, I heard cancer. That's what I heard, cancer. And that man walked by. That one, with a whole bunch of people, I knew it was that guy. And I heard cancer. And I was like, now I'm walking, I'm like, what do I do with that? What do I do with that? Because it's very easy to keep walking. It's very easy to just be, you know. Anyway, I turned around. And then for me, that's the hard part now, because what do I say? I'm running after somebody. It's weird. So I'm running after him, and I'm coming up behind him, and I touch him, and my granddaughter's following me, and I touch him on his shoulder, and I'm like, excuse me, when you walk by, I heard the word cancer. Does that mean anything to you? And he goes, he just busted out crying, and he goes, I was just diagnosed with cancer. And I was like, oh, the Lord spoke it. He sees you. He knows you're not alone, you know? I said, can I pray with you? Obviously, God wants to do something. I don't know you. And right there in the mall, we were able to pray. In the sea of Christmas that was going on, we were able to stand there and pray. Amen? Faithful. He's faithful. I was in South Africa. We were going, same thing. It was a mall. We were witnessing in the mall. We're just walking, seeing what God points out. What is he going to point out? You know, and as we're walking, you know, we did all these different things and we're getting ready to leave. And as we're leaving, people going this way and a lady in a wheelchair, for one split second, we just locked eyes. It was just a locking of eyes and we're just walking. And it was very easy to not be moved. It was just a split second. And the Lord, as I'm walking, because I kept walking, I hear the Lord goes, you noticed her. And I was like, oh, I did. And so now, okay, I'm going to run after her again. And I'm running back. And I run after her. And this big guy was pushing the wheelchair, very intimidating. He just looked, he was like 6'5", and big, long beard, burly guy, which is no problem. But it was intimidating running up to them. So I ran up, and I didn't want to look at him because I can easily be intimidated and stop. So I just figured if I ignore him, I'll just talk to her because that's who I noticed. So I locked eyes with her, and I'm ignoring him, and I'm like, we noticed each other. And she goes, we did. And I said,
I said, can I pray for you? And she goes, you can. And I said, what can I pray for? And she goes, you tell me. It's like, oh, okay. So I knelt down and I waited on the Lord for a second, and God gave me a word. He gave me a word of knowledge for her. And I just started speaking. And I'm speaking by faith because I don't know anything. And I don't even know if what I'm saying is the target. Am I really hearing you, God? I don't know, but that's sure what came to my mind, so I'm saying it. And I shared, and as I'm sharing with her, all of a sudden the guy starts talking, and I'm just like, what's he saying? And I'm looking, I didn't know if he's saying stop. I didn't, you know, my imagination, I'm like, ah. And he's saying it louder, louder, louder. And I looked up at him, and he's whispering, right? And he's going, this is a new wine. This is the new wine. This is the new wine. This is the new wine. And he starts crying. This is the new wine. And I said, excuse me? And he goes, this is the new wine. He goes, my wife and I, we've been praying and asking God, what does the new wine look like? What does that mean, Lord? And he goes, and this is the new wine. And then we ended up grabbing his wife's arms, and him and I walked her down the corridor, walked back. She hadn't been able to walk in 5 years. And God, she rose up from that wheelchair from a split second notice, right? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Faithful. He is so faithful. He's so faithful. And he's teaching us to hear his voice, teaching me to hear his voice. Move when you hear. You know, we want that from our children, don't we? When you hear me, do what I'm saying. We want it. But we're grown up now. Do we do it? When the Father speaks, he wants us to just be moved. He wants us to move. We don't always have to hear the why. He doesn't always have to answer. He just wants the obedience. He knows the deal. He knows the stories. I don't know anything. I just, my part is obedience and not to ask so many questions, because I can talk myself out of everything. I'm telling you, I can. If he tells me to go into a village, well, you know, honestly, it's scary. You know, it's not just very comfortable to go into a village full of witches. But when, you know, when he starts giving you the revelation that you're a daughter, you're a son, and when you know who you are and whose you are, and when you know you're sent on assignment and you're carrying in the kingdom, and when you enter in, and although you may in yourself, you know, imagination is strong, but when you cast it down, you're able to walk into the village and stomp the ground, because the kingdom has come. And we can do that in our homes. The kingdom is here. You know, the enemy has no place here. The enemy has no place touching pastor in Jesus' name. So we stand in authority as children of the King. That's our inheritance. And we stand and we stand and we stand. And when we've done all we can do, what are we to do? Stand. Because the enemy has to back down, not us. Not us. Amen? So, quick. No. So, even in Genesis, I'm just dropping this in quick, is, you know, God gave Adam the assignment of what? Keep the garden. Keep it. Guard, protect. Keep the garden. We've grown up hearing, mind your own business. And that kind of locked us up sometimes. Locked me up. Mind your own business. It's not always, it's not my business. You know, God will show you something. And you hear yourself. It's none of my business. You talk yourself to yourself. I was sitting in a church, and I noticed this girl. And she didn't leave my heart. I noticed her. And the whole meeting, we were a guest in the church. We were in the back. And I prayed for her the whole meeting. Towards the end of the meeting, she got up and walked across the building, and we were sitting in the back, like I said, and she walked out the door. And as she walked out the door, I'm telling you, I heard, go, 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 like that. And I was like, and I got up and I ran, and poor Steve's watching me. Here she goes again, and I run out the door. And as I'm running, I don't know what I'm going to say. Lord, what am I going to say? What, you making me chase her? And I was like, God, God, God. And then as I saw her, she was just getting into the parking lot, I heard the Lord. And I just said it as I heard it. And I said, I see you, says the Lord. I see you. And she turned around and she was sobbing. It was suicide. It was suicide. And I got to minister in the parking lot with that woman, a sister who was sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, God is faithful. He's faithful. We don't know the stories. We don't know what's going on. I can go on and on and on and on with endless stories, whether it's here or in the field. He had a stand as fire is raging into a brand new village. We were there. Oh, my goodness. What do you do? I don't know. We showed the Jesus film one night, and all of a sudden, we drove through fire to get there, but now the fire arrived, and we were on the back end of the village, and the flames were as tall as this building. And my son, my husband, my daughter-in-law, we stood there, and we just, you know, Jesus spoke to the wind. He's given us all authority. Creation is working with us, right? It's supposed to be. That's its assignment, is to stand with us. So we just said in Jesus' name, and we all just stood there and commanded that fire to stop, and it died. And later on, we showed the Jesus film. This is the second time we were showing it. Usually we show it three times in a village. And this is the second night, and we didn't know. We were on the end side. We didn't see anybody, but somebody saw it. And the whole village came out. And the whole village came forward because they said, that what we just saw was God. Like, fire is not listening to no man. These are children of God. Amen? And how many of us know the days that are ahead? We need each other. We're the body. We're the body. This is it. We're all different. Different assignments, different levels of faith, different callings. But when we lock arms together, we're strong, okay? The faith that you have, the things that are going on, we need each other. We're the body of Christ. We complicate things. It's the simple gospel. He's looking for simple faith, childlike faith, not the all grown up. It's good. We need to be grown up, I know. But if he says jump, will we jump? If he says, you know, wisdom has to bow at the door of the miraculous. I think it was Tozer that said that. You know, a lot of things are just not going to make sense. Just do what he says. I need to just do what the Father is saying. And I want to just read to you Ephesians 1, 22 through 23. And I want to read it over you. I'm kind of, read all of Ephesians 1 because it's amazing. Okay, it's amazing. Just don't even read it. Take it in. Take it in and wear it. But I want to just, 22 and 23 says, he has put all things under his feet and has appointed him the universal supreme head of the church, which is his body. What's his body? The church. Us. He's the head. He's the supreme head of the church, which is his body. And the fullness of him who fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete, who fills everything everywhere with himself. In that body, in me, somebody say in me, in me lives the full measure. Can you say that? Sometimes you got to say it and say it and say it till you believe it. Okay? In me lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete, who fills everything everywhere with himself. Body, this is a close of the age. We've got this. He's given us everything we need. Everything we need if we would just get out of the way and keep it simple. Keep it simple. Naturally, supernatural. Supernaturally, natural. Greater things than this we will do, Jesus said. Okay, Father. So I want to line up and I want to give. We've given him our yes. That's why you're here. But we need to give him our yes today. And every day, yes today, Lord. Yes everywhere I go, Lord. Yes. In Jesus' name, and I bless you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. So many times as Christians, sometimes we feel alone also. We feel, God, where are you? How come you haven't answered our prayers? In whatever struggle you may be in, you wonder, Lord, are you there? And sometimes in that doubt, it would be actually saying God is not a good steward over our lives. But he is. He is a supreme steward. And wherever you are, whatever situation, good or bad, he's present. Amen? So remember that. No matter what you're going through, he's there. So Lord, thank you so much for this time and this opportunity. Father, we want to lift up your name in everything that we do. And Father, we thank you for giving us a new vision. Thank you for giving us the ability to notice who you are and what you want to do in our lives. And Lord, I commit to you that each one of us here would reach the mark you set before us. That you would give us a clear vision. As we plan our ways, you will direct our steps. Let us hear your still small voice. We thank you, Lord, because we trust and rely and depend on you. I pray that your fire and your Holy Spirit would dwell in us like never before. And we shall not fear no man, but worship you and praise you in all that we do. And to reach out to the community, the world, the nations that are set before us. And I know that creation will work with us because we're your child. We are your children. And Father, we give ourselves unto you just as you gave yourself for all of us. So, Lord, thank you again and again. And we worship you and praise you in all that we do. And in Jesus' matchless name, the only one and true living God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.